No Free Ride to Valhalla, a Venom Comics fanfic written by Kita Usuret and read by Katie Hart. Pairings: past Valkyrie Flash Thompson and heavily implied past Venom Flash Valkyrie. With additional tags for Fix It, Near Death Experiences, Valkyrie is Awesome, stubbornly refusing to acknowledge the death of Flash Thompson. Summary: having fallen at the hands of the Red Goblin, the monstrosity that is the deadly combination of Norman Osborn and the Carnage symbiote, Flash Thompson, aka Agent Anti-Venom, lies dying on a rooftop. A certain old flame of his, though, refuses to accept that. Major spoilers for The Amazing Spider-Man number 800 also might not make sense if you haven't read the issue. Also, I wrote this at like 7 a.m. because that's just how I roll. Author's notes. So, ever since Amazing Spider-Man number 800 released back in May, I've been treating the death of Flash Thompson as basically a big conspiracy theory. Why? Because he survived much worse, and it was a stupid death. This is one of just many scenarios I've come up with as to how Flash Thompson lived. And I may very well make this into a series of completely ridiculous one-shots. With that, part 1 of 25 Ways to End Amazing Spider-Man number 800. Flash closed his eyes and slowed his breathing, his heart rate. Let whatever anti-venom was still there do what it could. Regardless, he knew it. This was the end. He'd exhausted himself seeking out all of Spider-Man's, Peter's, allies and friends. Even against the artificial symbiote coursing through him, he could still feel the presence of his partner. Two of the beings he cared about more than anything in this whole damn universe, and they tried to save him. But that would mean Peter. Peter, who always had a temper, who always was trying to take responsibility for everything, and how had he not seen it before, would have been forced to kill in blinding rage. Flash didn't want that for either of them. But they were terrible for each other, and if Peter did something he'd regret, that would be the point of no return. Flash wouldn't let Venom get re-corrupted, no way. He'd choose death over that. They left moments after his insistence to go. I don't want to risk hurting Venom. You have to take the Red Goblin down. And so Flash waited. He'd either pass out and eventually wake up, or he wouldn't. He smiled ruefully to himself. Either way, damn good life. He'd go out a hero. That was something at least. Suddenly, he felt a warmth and a light, like someone had been sent down to collect him. And he heard a woman's voice, strong and familiar. Brave warrior, an end to your valiant fight draws nigh as the Valkyrie... She trailed off. Flash Thompson! She nudged him with her boot, and he coughed and managed to open his eyes. Sure enough, there beside him knelt Brumhilde, the Valkyrie, looking inexplicably annoyed. Hey, Val, honor's mine. If this is another ploy to get Dragonfang, no. The effort made him cough. I fought Carnage, and this is ridiculous. Get up. Flash stared at her as she leaned over him. Eugene Thompson, you have survived much worse than this. I can sense what is within you trying to heal you, but you must also put some effort into living. Furthermore, you interrupted what was turning out to be a very nice night with Angela and Sarah. Angela? Ribbon Girl? Yes, Odin's daughter. Valkyrie lowered her voice then. She has many uses for those ribbons, and you interrupted my opportunity to find out what they are. She stood again and put the hilt of her sword against his chest. It is not your day to come to Valhalla, Flash. What is it that is bonded to you?
Thinking took too much effort. Anti-Venom?
Anti-Venom? Wasn't that the alias of that Edward Brock fellow? I heard Henry complaining a few times about him and the so-called Revengers destroying an Avengers building. The alias is not very creative. Whatever it is, I can try to channel it to heal your wounds so I can return to my evening activities. She pressed the hilt against his heart, and it felt like his healing factor had been kicked into overdrive. Wounds stopped spilling. The anti-venom stitched him up from the inside out. It hurt like hell when it finally reached his lungs, but the weight of her sword kept him grounded. He coughed the last of the blood out and managed to lift his hand to wipe off his face.
Still feel like hell.
You're alive. You're welcome. Valkyrie knelt and pressed a kiss to his lips. Oh, impeccable timing. Hello, sweet one. Something slipped into his hand, cool and familiar, and the moment it sunk in, he smiled. Worry and agony and anger and sorrow flooded his subconscious, and he knew. Hey, buddy, didn't Spidey need you? Told me to leave. Needed to be with you anyway. Venom flowed over his remaining wounds, and Flash managed to sit up to see Valkyrie now eyeing him fondly. So I get a lecture and Venom gets a sweet one? Venom is very sweet, and very talented, and you know I taught him everything. Your old partner is closer to my age than yours, and has more experience than you will ever know, from many, many hosts. But that is quite all right. I enjoy teaching mortal men. Still, Flash frowned. I taught you a little, didn't I? You taught me strength and perseverance and heroism. Anything else? We need to return to Eddie. I left him on a rooftop next to Mary Jane with no clothes on. His heart wrenched a little. He knew this was just temporary, and he hoped Brock would understand. Why on earth he'd want to hand Venom off to Spider-Man after fighting Flash himself tooth and nail to be the symbiote's partner again was beyond him, but this had been a weird night overall. Valkyrie flipped her sword around and caught it expertly. If there's nothing else? No, go have your girls' night or whatever. Flash hesitated. But, you know, if you're ever down here on Midgard again, and you want to grab coffee or rip apart demons or something? She laughed, bright and warm, like a beacon in the night. Well met, Flash. She put her fingers to her lips and whistled shrilly, an ancient and mystic call to her steed, and within moments, Aragorn appeared from the sky and landed near them. Valkyrie mounted the Pegasus, and with a stamp of hooves was off into the night. Venom made a sound like a purr in the back of his mind, and Flash rolled his eyes. Don't let Eddie feel that or he might get jealous. You believe he was celibate the entire time we were bonded? Images flashed over his subconscious he'd rather forget at that moment, and with Venom's help, he stood. Please don't do that again. Think Carnage is down for the count? I know it. Then we better get back to Eddie. I'm sure he misses you as much as I did. He will be glad to learn you are alive as well. Flash wasn't so sure about that, but in any case, the sentiment was welcome. All right, buddy. Thanks for coming to my rescue. He slung a web and dropped down into the night, following Venom's instincts back to his primary host. Val was right. Tonight was not his night to die. The end. Hearts. A Venom Comics fanfic, written by Kita Usuret and read by Katie Hart. Rated for teen and up audiences. Pairing Eddie Brock, Flash Thompson, the Venom symbiote. With additional tags, For Canon is an Illusion, Kinktober with No Kink, Public Displays of Affection, Getting Together, Making Out, Communicating Like Adults, Closets, Peter Has No Chill, Heart to Heart, Fluff and Angst, Nobody is Dead. Summary. Affix-it for The Amazing Spider-Man number 800. On a rainy, cursed night when the Red Goblin tore through New York City, he left Carnage in his wake. In a moment of impulse, Eddie Brock allowed his symbiote to go with Spider-Man to try and defeat Osborn as one, teaming up with Agent Anti-Venom, Flash Thompson. And so he waited on the Stark Industries rooftop with Mary Jane Watson. But the one who returned with Venom was not who he expected. Or, there's a lot of air to clear, but almost dying can certainly give a man some perspective. Author's note. A companion piece for my other Amazing Spider-Man number 800 Fix-It, No Free Ride to Valhalla. Sort of. They both stand neatly on their own. I followed the Kinktober prompt pretty loosely for this one, but it mainly just serves as a fix-it for everything between the end of Venom Space Knight and Amazing Spider-Man number 800. It doesn't fix everything, but all these characters are adults with more in common than they realize, and that's important. I may one day expand this into a longer piece, but for now, here's what I've got. I think this was a bad idea. Like, a really, really bad idea. She paused, and the rain continued to fall around them, and he knew she still had that repulsor on her hand. No, no. You know what? I'm absolutely certain it was a bad idea. Her voice turned shrill. How could you just let him go after that maniac with your symbiote? If you were never able to defeat Carnage, do you really think that... Miss Watson, Eddie said through gritted teeth. I realize it was a mistake to send my other with Spider-Man, but it seemed like the wisest course of action at the time. Well, I wish someone would have left you pants. After that, they lapsed into silence. Mary Jane seated on the Stark Industries rooftop and Eddie a few feet away, standing in the rain with only a scarf around his hips, at the woman's insistence. She'd suggested waiting inside, but he'd refused to leave the last place he and his other had been joined. It had been some time since Spider-Man had taken his symbiote, off to take down both their most dangerous enemies, a horrible amalgam of both the infamous Green Goblin and the Carnage symbiote, the Red Goblin. Flash Thompson had been among them. His other tried to hide it sometimes, but Eddie knew it still cared very deeply for its former host, with none of the resentment it held towards the others. It had been torn between the two of them not so long ago, ultimately heartbroken when Thompson had become the anti-venom. Wanted you to know what he meant. Wanted him to know what you meant to me, it had said a few days later. But the truth was, he was terrified of it leaving him. Who was he without Venom? But what if it had desired to rebond permanently with the veteran? He knew from the memories it would let slip what they had done together, how they had grown and developed, and... A familiar sensation prickled the back of his mind just then, and he stood up straighter. Swinging towards them was... Eddie's stomach clenched. He recognized that armored look, all spikes and semblance of combat gear. Agent Venom gave a perfect flip in midair and landed right before Mary Jane, the symbiote dissolving from his face to reveal his wide grin. He scooped Mary Jane up in a hug, spinning her around as she laughed delightedly. Eddie almost moved to grab Thompson and shake him until he surrendered his other, but instead a profound loneliness gripped him in the midst of Flash and Mary Jane's happy reunion. Flash, you and Venom? Got wrecked up pretty bad by Osborn, MJ. Spider-Man let my buddy go at some point. The anti-venom was all gone, so Venom had to come keep me from bleeding out. She frowned. And Spider-Man? Osborn's out of commission and getting taken in. Figured I ought to let you guys know, though. He turned then to Eddie. And you, Brock. Eddie stayed tight-lipped and swallowed his anxieties. He was going to say it. Thompson was going to say he was taking Venom back for good. He was walking over to at least give Eddie the courtesy of saying it to his face, and as the symbiote wrapped around Flash's face again, he curled a hand around the back of Eddie's neck and... The mask peeled away just enough for Flash to press his lips to Eddie's. After a moment, fighting the urge to push Thompson away because what the fuck, he felt something cool and familiar. A tongue, too long to be human. Teeth too large to not be his other's. Tendrils wrapped around his waist and neck, one poking in just long enough for him to feel an intense surge of affection and relief before the connection vanished and Flash pulled away. He stared, shocked, and even in the dark he could see Flash blushing. Sorry, Venom. No, you know what? Both of us. Been wanting to do that a while. When Eddie didn't respond, he went on. I just, he wants to go back, and he's going to. But if Venom leaves now, I might bleed out. And I almost died, and trust me, that sucks. And, MJ, are you okay? The redhead somehow looked even more baffled than Eddie, but it faded after a second. She crossed her arms and looked away. No, yeah, I'm fine. I guess I just missed something is all. It's flash started, Eddie continued, complicated. Mary Jane drummed her fingers on the repulsor still strapped to her hand. Yeah, well, she glanced between the two, three of them, as if they were a puzzle to be solved. I'm gonna wait for the webhead to get back and make sure he's okay. Eugene, you have a lot of explaining to do. She shook her head. Clearly you're not going to kill each other, so find rocks and pants. Please. Flash had been staring at him the whole time she'd been speaking, a small tendril wrapped around Eddie's wrist. Flash had started to take his hand, but instead took Eddie by the shoulder. Yeah, great idea. Let's go do that. He waited until they were back inside the building to shove Flash up against the nearest wall. What the hell has gotten into you, Thompson? What the fuck happened out there? Why do you have my udder? It doesn't belong to you. It chose me and... Eddie. Eddie, he said softly, putting his hands on Eddie's forearms. Eddie shook as all the emotion he'd bottled up in front of Watson threatened to spill out. I told you Venom would return to you, all right? Just please, please hear me out. The symbiote sank mostly back inside him, patches of black underneath the shredded white t-shirt and stabilizing him from the waist down. But I promised MJ I would find you pants, so... Fine. The symbiote still had a small bit of itself wrapped around his wrist and hand, but it hurt. It hurt to be apart. He could probably find something in here to force them to separate, but then he'd be as bad as what Thompson had done as anti-venom. Flash grabbed his hand and pulled him into a large utility closet, and he took a seat on a tub full of supplies. Okay, I know it's not like this is the first time I've seen you in your birthday suit, but I'm not actually all that keen on having this conversation with you while you're naked, because it's pretty distracting, and I'm still pretty high on adrenaline and almost dying. He quirked an eyebrow, but eventually fished around and found a pair of pants that fit. As soon as he sat down across from Flash, the veteran took his hand and bowed his head. I'm sorry. Eddie frowned, half wanting to yank his hand away and half wanting to embrace Flash. Instead, he sat ramrod still because he'd agreed to hear him out. That day in the lab at Alchemax, I was wrong, Eddie. I was really wrong. I was angry and upset, and I didn't understand. But that's not an excuse for what I did to you and Venom. And then I took your old identity and I tried to do something good with it. But I hurt you and I hurt my partner and I fucked up, okay? He scooted closer, placing his hands on Eddie's shoulders, and only now did Eddie see that Flash's green eyes glistened with unshed tears. He didn't know what to say, but Thompson had always tried to be honest with him. They were both fighters, and they both knew fights could get ugly, but in the end, they'd always tried to save each other. Was it because of Venom? Or was it something else? Flash went on. And then everything happened with the poisons, and things came crashing down, and I should have worked with you, and I should have trusted you, but I still didn't get it. For God's sake, Thompson, he finally said. You keep saying I didn't get it, I didn't understand, but what? What? I'm not great with words, Brock. Just... this. Flash squeezed Eddie's hand with both of his. The bond, the connection... what it means to the both of you. It's different from what I have with him, but Venom wanted so badly to be able to make this right with you. When we got separated, I almost fell off the wagon. And then shit went down with Price and Mania, and he lifted their joint hands to his forehead. All I had to do was talk to you. It wasn't until I was dying and Venom came to save me that I understood. I missed him like I missed my own soul, but he needs this. He needs you. They sat like that a while, the symbiote twined around the both of them and their hands, just the barest of surface-level connection, so Eddie could tell Flash meant every damn word. Eventually, he rested his other hand on Flash's and pulled him a little bit closer yet. No, Thompson, you don't know what I've seen, what I've felt. I get flashes sometimes of what you did together and how you protected your partner in ways I never could. His eyes burned, but no way in hell was he going to lose control while someone else had his other. I don't know who I am without it.
But we do.
Eddie snapped his head back up at the strange duality coloring Flash's voice. The symbiote wrapped itself around its host, the usual white outlines giving way to the solid eye spots Eddie was most familiar with. Its deep voice was soft as they climbed onto Eddie's lap, holding his face gently.
We know who you are, and we know you're trying to be good. You want to be better, the same way we do.
Flash's voice faded almost completely then, and it felt like only the symbiote addressed him.
You are my heart, Eddie. You always will be.
They leaned down and kissed him then, cradling his face, and Eddie wasn't sure if it was more his symbiote or Flash who was kissing him. He wasn't sure he particularly cared. His eyes flickered closed, just as a light shone, and he passed it off as a weird manifestation of Flash Thompson's ridiculous charisma. Flash sucked in air straight through Eddie's mouth as tendrils slid off, the connection to his other growing stronger every moment. His eyes watered, tears finally spilling out as the symbiote joined him once again.
Eddie, are you all right?
It sounded different, clearer, and Eddie wondered if Flash had something to do with that.
Yes, love, I am now.
Perhaps surprisingly, he found he didn't want to stop kissing Flash, even as he felt all of Venom return. Maybe it was the symbiote who didn't want to stop, but he swore he felt amusement sparkle in the back of his mind. It curled comfortably around him, and at last sank in fully, leaving Flash straddling Eddie's lap in a Stark utility closet. They only looked up when they heard a click at the door. Eddie stared at Flash, who looked red-faced but joyous. Eddie grimaced and put a finger to his lips, motioning with his head at the door. Flash, of course, immediately burst into giggles, and then full-on laughter, clinging to Eddie.
Pete, if that's you, don't worry, we're not naked.
The door cracked open, and Mary Jane poked her head in. Eddie buried his face in Flash's chest, singularly mortified, and the stupid idiot just kept laughing.
Eugene, he snarled, but it was hard to really be mad.
Oh my god, did you just full name me?
Flash teased, and pressed a kiss to the top of Eddie's head.
First date, or maybe like fourth date, and he's calling me Eugene, MJ.
He saw her roll her eyes and shake her head out of the corner of his eye.
Everyone's safe, Peter. Eddie's got pants, and Flash looks to be okay, too.
Oh, thank God.
Peter Parker looked in through the doorway and immediately vanished around the corner.
MJ, you didn't tell me they were... Peter, we're all adults. They're making out like a couple of high schoolers. Peter, calm down. In a utility closet. It's like seeing your little brother kissing someone in his date's car.
She turned back to them with a grimace.
Sorry about him. I'm gonna find you a wheelchair, Flash.
We can take him home, Eddie blurted.
He turned back to Flash. If you... He grinned and kissed Eddie again, soft and sweet.
Yeah, I think I'd like that.
The end. Just One Night. A Venom Comics fanfic. Written by Kita Osuret and read by Katie Hart. Rated 14 and up audiences. Pairings: Eddie Brock, Flash Thompson, the Venom symbiote. With additional tags for Fix-It of sorts, Alternate Universe Nobody Dies, Amazing Spider-Man number 800 Fix, Communication, Hanging Out, Literal Sleeping Together, Hand-Holding, Pre-Relationship, Trauma, and Emotional Hurt Comfort. Summary. After the events of The Amazing Spider-Man number 800, Flash Thompson has survived his injuries, bid the anti-venom suit farewell, and, after an emotional conversation with Eddie Brock, finally gotten to go home. But now that the whirlwind has mostly passed, He has an opportunity to think on what has transpired, and he's not the only one with a lot to unpack about the past few years. Flash would have been lying if he said he didn't enjoy the lift back home to his apartment. Well, he would have preferred to have been clothed for it, but having a symbiotic blanket over his shoulders and pressed into Venom's warm body wasn't the worst thing he'd experienced today. Not even top 10 worst. Maybe top 10 best. Maybe top 5. He felt vulnerable like this. But it wasn't such a bad thing. He'd gone straight from using up all the anti-venom suit to almost dying to having his old partner come to his rescue. He felt a little less alive as Agent Anti-Venom and a little more as Agent Venom. Or maybe he'd just been Flash Thompson hanging out with his pal for a few minutes. Best few minutes of the last, what, year? Of course, there had been that kiss. He smothered the thought and focused on making sure they were going the right way to his apartment. Eddie certainly wasn't saying anything to make this weird. It was just an impulsive gesture, nothing to it, nothing at all. Eddie, at least, had the courtesy to not make it weird when they had to first locate Flash's wheelchair. His legs had been completely wrecked in the fight. Flash had convinced Eddie to stay for a bit. They had pad thai and masaman curry delivered, and each washed up after the absolute nightmare of a day they'd had. They moved mostly in silence around each other. The symbiote didn't show much of itself either, except when they were both on the couch and it wrapped a tendril around Flash's index finger. He was sure Eddie felt it. Pretty hard to keep even a small gesture from your direct host. And grateful he didn't protest. Some old movie none of them were paying attention to played on a low volume in the living room. When Eddie broke the quiet, it was in a voice far lower than Flash was certain he'd ever heard from the man. I'm glad you made it. He opened his mouth to respond, but the appendage around his finger tightened a little. Instead, Flash just raised his eyebrows and watched Eddie stare straight at the floor. There was a moment, a few months ago, when everything went down against Lee Price. We all thought you were dead. I felt this. He clenched his fists in front of him. Blind rage, I suppose. You were fine, of course, which I should have known, having been an anti-venom myself once. But it was surprising. At first I assumed it was only my other, its memories of you leaking through, but it wasn't. And I meant what I said that night. You're a pretty good man yourself. Flash smiled despite himself at the memory. For all the hell that had been those few days, that had been a pretty decent moment. You know, Flash said, and scratched the back of his head with a grimace. We've had this really weird thing since we met, haven't we? You started out as anti-venom and I was venom, and then we were toxin and venom, and finally we were venom and anti-venom. But for a few minutes now and then, we were just Eddie Brock and Flash Thompson. The only real common denominator has been venom. He turned to face Eddie and leaned up against the back of the couch as casually as he could. I showed up at Our Lady of Saints and tried to trank you. No, you showed up with a... Eddie finally faced him. Hold on. That was a tranquilizer? It looked like a... A gun, yeah. That's what I told Dodge, but... Whatever. Point is, we battled out of there, but we ended up wanting the same thing. Saving Manhattan. And then there was Philadelphia, when we almost killed each other... But we wanted the same thing, stopping the Slayers. And then with Price, we both just wanted him gone, but we never just talked. We just kept hurting each other. Do you know how stupid that seems in hindsight? Thompson, he said after a long pause, if you want to discuss hindsight, we are going to be here for weeks. Well, how about just one night? Flash held up his hand to show Eddie the symbiote still wrapped around his index finger. He smiled in a way he hoped translated to, "What can you do?" Eddie immediately started to get up. "I should thank you for the Thai food, but I can't. We should just..." "Eddie, just one night, okay? If you don't stay, Pete will find out, and then he'll insist on coming over, and then I won't be able to sleep, because he will watch me sleep all night. And knowing he's done that as both Spider-Man and as Peter Parker makes it all worse." He shrugged a little awkwardly. "And I'll be honest, I don't really want to be alone after tonight." He watched the resolve in Eddie's blue eyes break down bit by bit, no doubt thanks to his partner. "Fine, one night." It was probably the exhaustion talking, but Eddie didn't voice any more protests, even as they both collapsed into bed together. The symbiote spread itself out in a way that spoke to habit, but tonight it formed a hand that held Flash's, while of course being otherwise completely wrapped around Eddie. Flash held it close to his chest with a sigh. Just this little gesture, more than any notion of being a hero or an agent of the cosmos or anything, this was what he missed. Just the casual gestures, the affection. It made little eyes in the dark that peered up at him, and he smiled. "Hey, pal," he whispered, trusting that it would let Eddie sleep. "I missed you, you know." The symbiote made a rumbling noise, almost like a purr. That had been the hardest part of donning the anti-venom suit. He could heal himself. He could heal others. He could save half a dozen people from a megalomaniacal supervillain. But what was all of that if he couldn't even embrace the one being in this universe that felt like it had a part of his soul? In what reality did it make sense for him to call himself anti-venom? How could he ever be anti to Venom? He tried so hard to fill the void with his newfound range of abilities, but it wasn't the powers at all. It never had been. It had always just been Venom. Eddie, he suspected, had realized that right away, all those years ago. But along the way, something had happened. Something got broken, and now they needed to fix it. He got that. Sometimes it took a traumatic event to punch you in the face and make you realize something needed to change. With the symbiote still wrapped around it, he placed his hand gently on Eddie's bicep. Just as he was about to pull it off, Eddie reached around and placed his hand over Flash's. "Eddie?" "Thanks. And I'm glad you're okay, too." He didn't say anything back, but he didn't need to. The way he squeezed Flash's hand and the symbiote's told him everything he needed to know. The end. It Can Happen. A Venom fanfic written by Kita Osoret and read by Katie Hart. Rated for teen and up audiences. Pairing Eddie Brock, Flash Thompson, the Venom symbiote. With additional tags for literal sleeping together, kissing, fix it, developing relationship, late night conversations, and references to Amazing Spider-Man number 800 and Venom Inc. Part 4 of the Flash Thompson is Not Allowed to Die series. Summary. It's been a night of near death, poor decisions, and revelations. But with the fight against the Red Goblin behind them, Flash Thompson convinces Eddie Brock and the recently returned Venom symbiote to do him the favor of staying the night. It's been a rough evening after all, and he doesn't want to be alone. But when the symbiote reveals to Eddie more details about the fact that what has transpired so far this evening may not be so far flung after all, He starts to wonder if maybe there's something worth exploring here. Author's note. Well, I didn't intend for this to happen, but here we are. More domestic fluff, more kissing, more of me griping about things that happened in Venom Inc. and go down swinging, etc., etc. Eddie hadn't necessarily intended to stay all night. He thought maybe he could sneak away, sleep out from under the covers, maybe leave his number on a piece of notepaper on the nightstand or the living room coffee table. He could leave without a word and maybe they would both forget about the events of the last 12 hours, about Flash coming back from the brink of death, about them finally just talking to each other, about the moment they touched and understood, really understood the other. Except that it wasn't just the two of them. It was the three of them. And the symbiote was all wrapped in strands around him. And while it had started with his other making a hand to hold Flash's, and then Eddie's holding both of theirs, but now Flash was practically on top of him and snoring softly. He couldn't move, because he wasn't going to dislodge a man who had almost been electrocuted to death, and because if he did, the symbiote would never let him hear the end of it. Even when he just considered the idea, it formed a face and stared at him with its big wide eye spots until he relaxed back into the mattress. And it was a nice mattress. How long had it been since he last felt the weight of another body against him? Oh, sure, there had been the symbiote many times, but to feel both it in his mind and on his skin, and then also its unmistakable affection for Flash. But it was hard to feel jealous because his heart ached every time he remembered what it said, taking advantage of having a host it could articulate words through. You are my heart, Eddie. You always will be. And for the first time in a long time, things had felt right. It shouldn't have, because he had been kissing another man the symbiote loved, and he'd been feeling a wave of emotion that had, just for a moment, bound the three of them together. Eddie didn't know how to deal with that. Tonight had been the first time in a long time he'd let his other go willingly, not in a fit of rage or hurt or because he was dying, but because he'd thought he was doing the right thing. And if he hadn't, might the Red Goblin have succeeded in killing Flash? Might it not have known he was hurt until it was too late? A small part of him wondered if he would have even cared. But no, he knew. He knew it would have crushed him. He would have known the moment Flash had died, because anti-venom or not, Flash was still, and always would be, a part of Venom. They couldn't escape each other any more than they could escape that shared identity. Normally, the symbiote would have just put him right back to sleep if there was something keeping him up. Tonight, something felt different. It had been quieter than usual since rejoining him, despite the clarity with which he now heard it in his mind. As much as he wasn't certain he wanted the answer, tonight had been a night of revelations, and so it was as good a time as any to direct the question to his other. What is bothering you, love? Lost you once. Images and emotions filled his mind. He saw through the symbiote's eyes as it stared at his own lifeless body before turning back to Spider-Man. Peter Parker, he knew now, as the vigilante pled with it to rebond with Eddie. A kind of sick feeling churned his gut at the roiling anger that the memory Venom felt, cutting through its sorrow at recalling the event. It had, of course, brought him back, but not entirely of its own volition. Neither of us are who we were then. It still seared his soul to remember that day, that time, but neither of us were well. I could not lose Flash the way I almost lost you. I should not have left you at all, Eddie. And then it dawned on him. That's why you came back with him, he said aloud. As if on cue, Flash stirred, and then resettled on Eddie's chest, still clutching the few tendrils between his fingers. You helped him understand, and then you wanted me to understand as well. Yes. Won't he resent me for taking you back? Let me show you something, Eddie. And then a new scene played out before him. A bell tower in Manhattan. Our Lady of Saints. The city lights flickered in through the arches that surrounded it and illuminated the staircase leading down to the cathedral. The symbiote stood apart from Flash, who lingered nearby, leaning on a cane, watching his partner warily. I remember this place. It reached out and traced the massive sound bow with a claw before immediately pulling back with a shiver. Even though it emitted no sound, aside from the obvious knowledge that a bell which could be heard from many city blocks would be quite damaging to it so close, there was something else here. Its whole body rippled, the white lines shifting from over his shoulders to once again wrap around its torso, before it resettled back into an approximation of the form it shared with Flash. We were hurt here. We were saved here. Flash scratched the back of his head with a grimace. Gotta specify, pal. There have been a few different we's over the years. When we were Spider-Man. When we were Venom. You mean Eddie Brock? Something happened, Flash. It stared at its dark palm before clenching it into a fist. We hurt him horribly. I hurt him. Now, hold on there, Flash said. He immediately approached his partner and took its clenched fist in both his hands. Symbiosis goes both ways, Venom. Not sure if you remember, but between two different aliases, Eddie Brock wasn't exactly showing either of us a lot of love. A lot of that's on me, but don't get carried away on this. I must know what happened. Just be patient with yourself. One step at a time, one day at a time, like we've talked. I'm sure your memories will come back to you like they have been, but I want you to let me know when they do, okay? He reached up to touch the symbiote's shoulder, and then his face when it leaned down. Flash lowered his voice to almost a whisper. Just let me help you through this, okay, buddy? It touched its forehead to its partner's, and then dissolved its own form, wrapping around him in long, winding strands. Its newfound grief was soothed only by Flash's promise as they then touched the cold metal of the bell. They stayed there a moment before they turned, and Flash's cane, stored safely in its biomass, leapt from the tower to swing away. We were separated less than a week later. Eddie jumped a little when Flash's voice was the thing that pulled him out of the memory. It seemed even their silent conversation had woken him. He felt a little odd, now knowing that Flash had also been privy to at least the last bit of their conversation. But it had been a memory from their time together, likely inaccessible without the other host. And then Price happened, he muttered. In the darkness, Flash had moved to prop his chin on his arm. But I didn't know that. I thought maybe you'd hurt him. And I thought you just wanted my other back. Flash started chuckling. Eddie pulled a face. What? We're just... He started laughing, then finally had to roll off because his eyes were watering. We're so fucking stupid. Eddie started to sit up. Goodbye, Thompson. No, 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 Eddie, wait. He managed to get out and pinned Eddie's hand to the mattress. I don't mean this. I mean the shit we said to each other. He cleared his throat and made his voice drop about an octave. I don't know what you think you're doing here, soldier boy. I don't. Eddie bit his lip to try and keep from laughing. I don't sound like that. You do. Jesus, Eddie,
I've been retired for like 5 years anyways. Yeah, yeah, you're the one who was always saying things about control and whatnot. Right? Could you believe that? Me? I didn't know what I was doing almost ever. Eddie blanched at him. You're kidding. He is not. The symbiote finally spoke aloud. Its eye spots were curved gently up in its own amusement. Winged it almost every time, Flash said. His smile softened. Honestly, kissing you on that rooftop was one of the most confident things I ever did as Venom. He snorted in disbelief. Maybe you should have done that in the lab. Maybe I should have. I would not have minded. They both turned to the symbiote. It hung there in midair, and then cocked its head at them. A limb of tendrils branched out like fingers to hold Eddie's face the way Flash had held its all that time ago. We always intended to help you after that day, Eddie. Once we found you, I had hoped you and I could rebuild our relationship, if you were willing to. But it wasn't until tonight, Flash went on, that I realized what you meant to each other. I don't know what that will mean for you and me, but I will tell you one thing. I think it's only fair that since you got to kiss me and Venom, I should get to do the same. He paused. If you want to, of course. Eddie lifted his eyebrows. Right now? I almost died. You can't keep playing that card. I can and I will. He looked at the symbiote. What do you think? He did almost die. Not you too, Eddie grumbled aloud as his other bumped its head affectionately against Flash's face. Flash rolled back over and leveraged himself closer. He coaxed Eddie to lay back down. You know what's fun is that I can usually tell when you're talking to my pal, even when you're not saying anything. Obviously, he added quickly, no pressure. I know what happened in that closet was pretty impulsive, but I enjoyed it, even when we got interrupted. He brushed a hand through Flash's hair, and he decided he liked the way it felt. He liked the way Flash's smile got a little softer when he did that. The symbiote rejoined him, this time as Venom, and Flash looked outright delighted.
This is what you are seeking?
Well, obviously I like each of you as individuals, but... He clambered up on top, almost straddling their torso. Yes, I like this a lot. And then he leaned down and kissed them. At first a little awkwardly, because he seemed determined to fit their whole tongue in his mouth. A brief adjustment, though, and Venom was kissing him more comfortably, careful with their sharp teeth, if only because the symbiote informed Eddie that Flash probably wouldn't be careful. Still, when Flash grazed his fingers through the black of the symbiote, seeking some evidence of the host beneath, it made something flicker in Eddie's chest, something warm and wonderful. When Flash finally pulled away, he was laughing again.
What is it?
Nothing. Guess I'm just pleasantly surprised you were on board with that. He settled back down onto their chest and closed his eyes. Makes me wonder what else you've been holding out on me.
Well,
the symbiote pulled away from his face, but wrapped Flash closer to them and fixed the blankets over the three of them once more. Maybe that's something worth exploring. They felt Flash smile against them. I think I'd like that. Eddie hadn't intended to stay the night, but now he didn't want to leave. The end.